respected journalists would say, wait till we're 10 games in. Luckily for us, there's no respected journalists at this show. Welcome, everyone, to the Pitching In NPL show, where we're getting excited about a league table where only six games have been played. And joining me round a virtual heat and hop this evening for the August edition of the Pitching In NPL show, we've got social media officer, it's James Hayes.
Evening, Ben.
We've got Andrew Simpson here, non-league reporter from Cheshire.
Ben, I couldn't be less excited about the league table right now.
Oh, yeah, good point. Berkey's here, everyone, from 26-0.
Hiya, Ben and everyone else.
And joining us from the northeast, from West Allotment Celtic, it's Mark Carruthers.
I'm excited about league tables. It's got to be excited about something.
So we are six games in. It is early days. But Berkey, your prediction of South Shields winning the league by 20 points. I mean, they're being kept honest by Buxton and Matlock early doors, though, Berkey.
I never said 20 points. This is the first time I've been on the show. I was going to come in and do my usual South Shields by 10 points. And I would have been right the previous two seasons as well, if we'd have got there the whole way. But South Shields will win this league by 10 points come the end of April. They will do. They're bound to. Buxton are going to run them, as you said, they've got to keep them honest. They're a good side, a very good side themselves, but I don't think they've quite got enough to overpower the might of South Shields. They're a full-time unit. They should be not quite walking the league, but they should certainly be putting everyone else under a serious amount of pressure. And I just don't see Buxton overhauling them, even though they are level on points from at the moment. It's been a great start for Buxton, and I fully expect they'll carry on through September. But at the same time, South Shields, they look not unstoppable, but I'm going to say immovable.
Well, Mark, me and you shared a lovely evening together last week at Mariners Park. Delightful. Very, very snug up there at the top of the main stand, weren't we?
It was cool. It was cozy.
It was cozy.
That's what I would
say.
It
was much warmer than the last time I was there, so thank you for that. But so FC United did run them close, very close, but they're still unbeaten, and a brilliant victory over Scarborough, who've been really good in the opening couple of weeks. So what do you make of South Shields' start?
Well, I think barring that so last hour against FC United, they've been near perfect so far this season. I still don't believe they've had the strongest side out. They've still had players missing, and you know, Graham Fenton's chosen to rest players. And I think they'll just get stronger as the season goes on. For the first half an hour against FC, they were excellent, let's be honest. But there was a slight vulnerability in that hour. I would argue FC United possibly deserved to edge the game and take the points. But you know, South Shields have been excellent so far. The forwards seem to be clicking. As you say, a great result on Monday away at Scarborough, and a fully deserved win. And everything seems to be moving in the right direction. So I think it's, they are favourites to win it. There's no question about that. And I'm not sure if it'll be 10 points or 20 or whatever, but I certainly do think they'll win it.
Kind of just to endorse what Mark said, I think kind of ominously for everybody else, I would argue they've probably got another couple of games to go through just yet. They were narrow winners at Winchin Park against a struggling winner, but they still deserve winners. But what I was really impressed with was how assured and composed they look. They look like they have a plan, and they won't be kind of knocked off course, and they'll stick to it, and they've got a way of playing. And then the forward line, I think once they get an understanding, Misanka and Osai, it's going to be pretty formidable to come up against. They're still kind of figuring out how to play with each other at the moment. Once that understanding kind of develops further, they're going to take some stopping.
We've been talking a lot about South Shields in this opening bit of the show, but we do have to remember Buxton are on the same number of points. And James, they've been brilliant. You know, Warren Clark, Diego Di Girolamo, Jamie Ward, Ash Chambers. Their squad's pretty good, isn't it? And they are going to push South Shields close.
They've got the team and the attacking force this year to really put that. Scored every game so far. Finally turning Buxton into a proper fortress. They are going to push them this year, you're right. I think it's worth pointing out that the top two don't have anyone in the top 10 of the goal scorers list at this moment in time.
No, but that's because they're spreading the attacking prowess around, and you don't want to rely or over-rely on one centre-forward, as other teams have done in the recent past. Oh, Ben's frozen. That was aimed at him.
I have not frozen. I'm still here. I'm aware of your point. But anyway,
it's not just about their attacking prowess. They've got the meanest defence in the league, but you've got Josh Granit there, who I still can't believe is playing at step three. You know, he's way above this level. I mean, it's bizarre that he's in this division, but he is, and he's marshalling that defence absolutely fantastically well. And they've scored three goals in three games already this season, so Teagot's dead right. You know, they're banging the goals in, but the thing that I've been most impressed about with Buxton is that Ashley James's middle name is Ronaldo. With no one.
It's stuff like that that really puts the Pitching NPL show somewhere in a list of podcasts, doesn't it?
Not even award nominated. No, I can't believe
just
it.
Somewhere. No. It just puts us somewhere. Simo, your thoughts on Buxton?
Well, obviously not remotely surprised that they've got off to a flyer. In fact, they probably started maybe a little bit better than I thought, because there was quite a few new players to incorporate into that team. Gary Haywood did make changes over the summer, but they seem to have... They played a lot of friendlies, to be fair, so maybe they did use that time well to get up to speed. And they're going to need to have foot to the pedal to keep pace with South Shields. It probably shouldn't be a surprise that the two wealthiest teams in the division are already setting the pace. It'll be interesting to see if that's how it pans out. But in many ways, we shouldn't be surprised to see those two up front at the moment.
And they're the only team that have beaten Bamber Bridge so far.
No mean feat.
Come back to Bamber Bridge in a second, because they've been pretty good, haven't they, in the in this opening couple of weeks of the season. And Mark, we mentioned Buxton and South Shields there. How advantageous is it that you've got South Shields over full time? You've got Buxton, who, you know, they've made no secret the fact, you know, they want promotion. And then you've got Matlock, who are flying underneath the radar, right beneath the pair of them.
In terms of South Shields, obviously the full-time thing is an advantage. And I think we spoke about it at the FC United game, didn't we, about the fact that it's not necessarily the fitness side. Because I think we can all say that, you know, part-time players in non-league now, particularly the standard that the NPL is at, they look after themselves. You know, they do go to the gym most days, and those fitness levels may not be as different as it may have been if a side went full-time 10 years ago. But what it does do, as you correctly said, is it gives them time on the training pitch to work more. And, you know, as Simo said, they look organised, they've got a style of play, and that's through many hard hours during the week on the training pitch. So, yes, that'll be an advantage for South Shields. I think Buxton, I think their transfer business in the summer was as good as anything we've seen in the division for a while. They brought in some players that are established at the level above. Matlock, for me, I think they've done good business in the summer, but I just don't know if it's sustainable throughout the long term over the season. I think it is a shootout between the current top two.
What do you think about Matlock's start, Berkey? Because it has been pretty impressive, hasn't it?
It's been great, Ben, but you go back to the opening day of the season and the fans were just in utter bits, because they'd lost 2-0 at Ashton United and they thought, that's it, the season's over, we might as well go home already. But they've won 5 on the spin since then. Things have turned out and it's been some absolutely fantastic results in there. They've gone and beaten Nantwich away, Warrington away as well. Yeah, they've a really good string of results together. Paul Phillips, he demands the best from his players, as every manager does as well. And Matlock, I'm hesitant to say they're going to be right up there come the end of the season, because we saw them a couple of seasons ago have a great start under Steve Kittrick and just drop away like stone. But they seem to be made of sterner stuff. They've got a really, on paper, fairly straightforward month coming up. It's only really the game against Bamber Bridge that should test them. So I'd expect by the end of September, they're still going to be top three, you know.
I mean, Simon, they went into this past weekend without Ross Hannah and they beat Warrington without Ross Hannah, and I would suggest that shows that squad's pretty good, in all fairness.
Yeah, and Philo made the point on the show last week as well, didn't he, that he'd not had an opportunity yet to select what he felt was going to be his strongest 11, because the Captain Hughes had been suspended for the first few games of the season. If you remember last month, you did say to me, out of Matlock and Ashton, did I think they were going to be neck and neck in the table? And I did say Matlock were going to be miles ahead of Ashton. I think I need to point out, because it's about the only thing I've predicted that's come true so far.
It's six games in, Simo. You'll be right, mate.
I think Berkey's right. I think Matlock have got better staying power this year. Whether that'll be enough to finish in the top five, I don't know, because it's going to be so competitive to get into the playoffs, but they're going to be just fine.
Let's talk about Bamber Bridge, James, because we had Jamie Milligan on the show last week. I think we surmised in the previous show that if, because of Jamie's connections, if he could get it right with loan signings and that kind of thing, then Bamber Bridge will be okay this season. Little did we know that they were going to be this okay, though. I mean, fourth, and, you know, drawing with Warrington on Bank Holiday Monday. It's not been bad, has it?
Worth pointing out that we were actually beating Warrington. It's not a fluke that they're the top end of the table this year. Hugh and Bain just come from absolutely nowhere and become one of the main strike forces. That's one of the big questions we asked at the start of the season. How are they going to replace someone like Ali Roddicker? Well, they have now.
Ewan is a completely different type of player from Ali Roddicker. I completely take a Teagot's point, but he's a totally different kettle of fish. He's a beanpole striker, but he's very mobile. And it does me head in when people say, oh, he's tall, but he's good with his feet, isn't he? He's a footballer. What do you expect? You know, he's in control of his limbs. It shouldn't be that difficult. It's the bare minimum you expect from a professional footballer, which is he's on loan at the moment from Blackpool. They actually signed him, Bamber Bridge, last season, but it was the week before the season got curtailed, so he never actually got to play. And so they've got him back in again, and Jamie Milligan is found an absolutely fantastic player, I think, for this level. But he's banged 5 goals in his first set of games in senior football. He's settled in so well, and the goals he's taken have been very well done. He stepped up, took a penalty the other day as well, so he's got the confidence flowing. Jamie Milligan, though, take about proper... I mean, no one saw this coming. They didn't.
I don't know, Berkey, because he's not had a full season. Whenever we've had bursts of football with Jamie Milligan at Bamber Bridge, I've always said, people think I'm joking, but, you know, form is form. Oh, our Bamber Bridge are dark horse to get to the playoffs. String all those non-seasons we've had of Jamie Milligan in charge, you never know.
Part of the problem is with the so-called smaller teams in the division. If someone starts performing well, you know, the vultures start circling, don't they? And it's not just around the players, but Jamie Milligan will be noticed too by other clubs higher up. And you just never know what's going to happen, Ben. And I really hope they do continue in this vein, because they've been brilliant to start with. They really have. And it shows how far they've come, that they were gutted to draw with Warrington on Bank Holiday Monday.
I don't think we have Team of the Month at the moment, do we? But they're it, aren't they? They're Team of the Month.
I think so. Mark, how good's Whitby's start been, do you feel? Because a few people were hinting perhaps they could be the surprise package this year. It's worked out pretty well so far, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And I think we talk about Whitby every year as possible sort of playoff contenders. But I feel this year there's just something a little bit extra about them. Obviously, Hales hit the ground running again, looks a threat. I know. It's difficult to surmise how Morpeth were going to do in the early part of the season, but they've put them away with relative ease on Monday, especially after Morpeth got the first win on Saturday. And I think there's a real threat. I think there's quality right the way through that squad. Whitby now, they've got a bit of strength and depth, and they've got key players come back. So I think they'll be a threat for anyone, and I do believe they are genuine playoff contenders.
I think when I was speaking to Andrew Snaith, we were talking about Jacob Hazel. In fact, it might have been you, James, talking about Jacob Hazel. He's scoring now, isn't he?
Yeah, Radcliffe kept him quiet when they went up there, and that's part of the reason they've done a 0-0 draw. But at the same time, with a striker coming on form, we've only scored 8 goals this season so far. Still enough when you've got the players doing what they need to do.
It's not built on Jacob Hazel's goals, though. It's built on an absolutely rock-solid defence, isn't it? They've only conceded 3 goals in the opening 6. So if they can continue that, they're going to be... Well, they're going to be up there, aren't they? But it's whether they can keep that momentum.
That's the thing, isn't it, Berkey? They've conceded 3 goals in 6 matches, and Jacob Hazel scored 5 goals in 6 matches. So, Simo, speaking of goal scoring, it'd be remiss of us not to talk about Sam Fishburne at this moment in time at Lancaster City. How many goals is this? Let me count. I need more than one hand here. Sorry.
He's got seven
in 5.
He's only 17.
And I saw him make his debut, and he scored 2 on his debut at Witten. And I think he'd only met his teammates in the dressing room just before the game, because he'd signed on loan from Carlisle earlier in the day. So it's kind of like, rocked up in Norwich and was like, oh, hi, I'm Sam Fishburne, who are you? And then had scored two goals by the end. And I mean, as Mark fell last week, what a phenomenal impact for a young player. You do find this sometimes with strikers, don't you? They go in these absolutely ridiculous kind of purple patches, and he's obviously having one of those at the moment. His confidence will be sky high every time. Everything he touches is turning into a goal. Mark Fell made a really good point, actually. He said you've got to be a little bit careful how they manage him. He's 17. Already people are going, who's this kid? Where have you got him from? I think they have got him till the turn of the year, though, haven't they? Which sometimes you can see them make an impact. And then obviously they go and you're kind of like scrambling around. The Lancaster have got injuries up top at the moment because Tom Killefin's not been playing and Dave Norris got injured and he's kind of working his way back to fitness. So it's great that Fishburne's kind of took up that mantle and I know Paul Dawson's chipped in with a couple of goals as well. They'll be mighty happy with how they've started. They won't be happy at losing to Avon Colliery's on Monday, but it's still been a really good start by Lancaster.
With Fishburne as well, it's not like he was expected to chip in with this amount of goals either. You know, this has come as a surprise to pretty much everybody, but his manager at Carlisle, Chris Beach, he's absolutely buzzing about this. Not just because of the goals he scored, but because he's coming back covered in bruises when he goes back to training on the Monday morning. He's black and blue, you know. And he's asked him, you know, how you find it. He says, it's brilliant. There's all these big, ugly centre-halves weighing into me, you know. And he can hardly move on a Sunday morning. But it's not deterring him at all, and he's absolutely loving his football at the moment. And one thing I'll say about that Coles game as well, Ben Hudson, hope he gets better soon as well. He was in hospital after a collision with Coles keeper and with concussion. And as you lot know, I had the concussion last year and it sparked me out for the fortnight. The concussion rules now are that it's got to be a minimum of 3 weeks before you're back. And I just hope that they don't rush him. I really hope that he's going to be okay in the long term with it. And yeah, best of luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, I'm going to come to you for Scarborough Athletic. Actually, I should go to Berkey for Scarborough. What should I do?
I've said him.
He's the expert.
Well, yeah, he is, and he's at the press, unofficial press officer, isn't he? right, okay. Now, I'll come to you, Mark, because Scarborough under Jonathan Greening, I mean, they've two okay-ish draws, wasn't it, in the opening two games. Then they got the wins, the three wins they've got. Obviously, they were beaten by South Shields on Bank Holiday Monday, but John O'Greening's got to be very, very happy with that start that Scarborough have made, and so have the fans.
I would think so. I thought it was quite a clever appointment. Obviously, he'll have a lot of contacts around the game at the very top level and down towards sort of non-league and, well, the Northern Premier League and below. So I think this season with Scarborough, it's about how long they can keep the momentum going and if maybe they can regain a little bit of what was lost on Monday against South Shields. I don't think there's any shame in losing that game. It's now about how quickly can they start on another run and really maintain what they did in the first few games. It's there is a very, very good squad there. You know, they've got some players that have been at this level for a number of years now. And Jonathan Green's experience as a player and as a coach now, it's going to come in useful. It's a good mix. It's a good appointment. I think he'll just want to get the best out of his players and get, as I say, get back on a run again.
They're lacking a bit of firepower, though. Oh, sorry, Ben.
I was just about to say about the firepower because I was just looking through, you know, who scored the goals and, you know, Michael Coulson hasn't scored once yet this season, has it? So you just talking about it be Whitby being built on solid defence. That's the most important thing, surely, at this stage. Just get the results on the board.
Yeah, of course it is. And when they went down to South Shields, they were missing Kieran Glynn as well. He weren't playing. He's been pulling the strings through all midfield, all season through midfield so far. And, you know, solid but unspectacular. And it does feel like they're missing someone else up top to help Coulson out. You know, that lacking that little bit of quality at the moment, I think. But you just say they're not going to turn that round.
Right, let's talk about the teams who have had okay starts to the season. And Simo, I'll come to you first, being our non-league Cheshire expert. Warrington Town, what's your thoughts?
I think you're right to say, I think you summed up quite nicely that it's been okay. They'll be pretty relieved that they came back from 2-0 down to get a draw at Bamber Bridge, because that would have been a sequence of three defeats in four games without picking up that point. So it's quite, not only have they kind of rescued something, but they rescued something against an informed team, as we've already touched on. There's a feel a little bit that Cards is still kind of assembling his team. Obviously, he's brought in Jay Harris and then more recently Luke Griffiths in the past couple of weeks to really bolster Yellow's midfield. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how those two settle in. They've had one or two injuries. They've had to change things up top because Jordan Buckley got injured, didn't he? And Josh Amos has come into the team. So probably not yet hit their stride. They're not out of touch, though, so I don't think they'll be too concerned. Although certainly from the way in which Cards has responded in interviews following the two defeats that they've had against Scarborough and Matlock, he definitely expects a big improvement in September. So kind of keep an eye on whether he gets that.
And let's go to Atherton Coles.
On the preview show, I said it's going to be a double-edged swords of how their season's going to start. And I've turned it the right way around with it. It's obviously Kasani's starting well. Couple of players that have brought in as well. Difference Hansen, great free kick against Hyde. It needs to be mentioned there straight away.
Thanks.
Where they are at the moment, it's a good opportunity, especially with some teams you don't expect to be below them where they are at this moment in time. Form, and again, they're getting the home results there. They're turning Atherton into the ground like they want it to be, where they used to be in the North West Counties, First Division North. Really tough place to go to, and they are making the most of it. It's going to be more the fact when they start playing the teams up, like the South Shield, the Buxtons.
They did beat Lancaster, didn't they? And it's Marcus Cassani's been pretty good because when he scores, Atherton ordinarily win. So
he's a useful player to have. I mean, he's a big, burly centre forward and play out wide as well. But for me, the star of the show is the most handsome centre half I've ever seen in my life, Luca Hansen. 10 years ago, I saw the first game of the season for Atherton Coles. They were playing at home against Northwich Villa. Remember them? They won like 5-1, and it was a great game. I even got an assist for one of the goals because I took the ball to the guy, took the throw in, and I didn't take a bonus for it or anything like that. I didn't think it'd be right. But since then, they've won 3 promotions, and they are established at this level. I spoke to the secretary, Emil, after the first game of the season against Hyde, and he was saying the ambition this season isn't to avoid relegation; it's to really put the stamp on the division. Try and finish as high as they can. They want the top half finish. They're being serious about this. They've won 3, lost 3. So we're not, I don't think anyone's too surprised that it's going to be a little bit of an erratic set of results for them throughout the season. But they're going to pick up some big scalps along the way. And watch Coles. They've got the best team spirit in the division, as far as I can tell anyway. You know, they are. It's Coles versus the world, as it's always been. Instilled by Brad Cook and Cleggy before him. They're a good side, they're a better side than people realise. And watch this space.
Let's go to the team in 10th position now, Nantwich Town. Who can I go to talk about Nantwich? Let's have a look at their last result and see if that gives me an indication. Oh, Simo, Nantwich.
Yes. We're going to be here all night if you're going to list teams that have took points off Witten. Nantwich, they'll be a little bit disappointed. And I know from how Dave Cook has spoken over the weekend that he's a little bit concerned about where they are at the moment. Expect changes this week in terms of people being released because he is going to freshen up that squad of thing, even though they did pick up 3 points on Monday. They look quite some distance away from the Nantwich that we're used to at the moment. Partly because Joe Malkin's not been available yet, so they've not got their best striker. He got injured in pre-season. Obviously brought Sean Miller in, who's until last season been playing in the Football League. It's not really happened for him just yet. And in fact, he was dropped for the game yesterday. So Dave's still trying to find the formula that works there at the moment, and they're not where they would expect to be, and they're not really where he would like them to be, and that's those kind of issues up front are borne out by the fact that they've only scored 6 goals so far this season. So big improvement needed from them.
Right, well that's the top of the NPL Premier Division. Is anyone going to break into it? Who knows? But we'll have that discussion. Join us in a second for part 2. Well, welcome back to part 2 of the Pitching In NPL show. And I'll let you into a little secret. This show is not live. We pre-record it. This week, we pre-recorded it on Tuesday. But big news breaking early in the week as Jim Gannon was announced as the brand new manager at Hyde United. And for more on this news now, on Friday, as we record this bit of the show, I caught up with the brand new manager at Hyde United. It's a welcome back to the show to Jim Gannon. Well, Jim, a big thank you for joining us and congratulations on your appointment at Hyde United. How do you feel?
It's great. Great to be back. It's great to be involved with a club like Hyde. I had a really good feel about the club. Trust-run club, community interests, and everything about it felt right to me.
Like you say, I mean, it is a great setup at Ewan Fields. I was there on Saturday, and before the game, they had all the junior football matches happening. Great vibe at the club, isn't there? So I suppose it was a non-brainer for you, really, applying for the job.
Yeah, well, again, you get different advice from different people. A lot of people are confident in my ability and suggest that I should be working or trying to work at a higher level or in a professional environment, a full-time environment. But I'm not that pretentious. I was quite happy in combination with my sort of day job, which is working on a football and education programme and the community and charity work. I left room around that for a non-league part-time role, and I think Hyde's a perfect fit for that. A lot of the, if you like, their principles and what they want for the club in terms of how they play and how they develop players and how they organically grow the club is a perfect fit for me.
And with regards to the team itself, they've put in some good performances. We mentioned the FC United result. There was the Grantham Town result last Tuesday as well. I mean, what's your assessment on the squad overall?
It's fairly difficult because I've been to both those games, and well, I went to Grantham, was expecting a team that had three defeats and maybe low in confidence. I was totally taken aback at how vibrant, exciting, dynamic the team were, and were well-deserved winners against Grantham. They took that energy and confidence into the FC United game. But the FC United game showed maybe the lack of strength and depth with the group, because the same 11 players have been used in every game. So I felt there was something definitely there within the group, but they needed perhaps just some help on in how they defend, little bits and pieces around the pitch to improve. And unfortunately, the ability to sustain that performance against FC United on Monday was lacking. So I think there's a good group there, a very good changing room, some great experienced players, some really good talented young players coming forward. I just think that they need a little bit of guidance now in terms of adding two players, adding one or two things to the game plan. And I think they'll do okay this season. So I've inherited a very good group, and that's great credit to Dave and John. John in particular took over a team that lost three games and, if you like, re-energised them. And I think that I had a better picture of the team in those two games. But I've no doubt that we all know how difficult the NPL is. There's some great investment going in. There's some teams that have been building and building and getting stronger each season. So a very competitive league, the Premier. So we've got to work out to be competing at the top end. But what we want to do is just see improvements every week, every game, every month, and over the course of the season. And if we do that, then we'll be heading in the right direction.
That was going to be the obvious question I was going to ask you, Jim, just about your expectations for this season. But it's tough, isn't it, this division? And it's got even harder to get into the top half. So what's your assessment on what's possible after you weave your magic on the training pitch and add a couple more additions to the squad? What do you think is possible at the club?
Well, there's no magic in football. I think that clubs can go two ways, or a combination of two ways. They can invest heavily and look to bring in proven players, not just from this level, but from a higher level. And we're seeing that going on. We've even seen the likes of South Shields going full-time. And that kind of strength is going to be difficult to overcome without that kind of resources or backing. The other way to develop teams is to coach, to make a good group of players a team. Playing very effective, having a really good way about them. That's my first port of call. Obviously, then I need to work efficiently in the market and develop young players, bring good, hungry players into the club to make us, if you like, get great value for money for the players that we do have. Because I don't expect anybody to come in and give me money to spend. I expect to have to develop the group to compete at this level. So Hyde at this stage, great club, well run, but they wouldn't be wanting to get themselves in a situation where they overextend themselves or invest the kind of money that other clubs are. So it's going to be very much a brief of organic growth. At this stage, I haven't fully assessed Hyde, haven't fully assessed the league to be able to tell you where we would end up. But I'd like to think that we'll kick on from the period we have now. It may be difficult in the first couple of weeks as we've lost a couple of players, as a change of dynamic, got some tough fixtures. But as things settle down and as we start improving things slowly but surely, I'd like to see that we're moving into the top half of the table. And if we become increasingly competitive, perhaps we can compete for the playoffs. But again, there's a lot of good clubs, a lot of good managers, a lot of good players at this level that are making sure that we don't.
And one of those clubs is Morpeth Town, and you'll be playing Morpeth this weekend in the FA Cup. Tough game to kick things off away from home. Looking forward to it, and what's your assessment on the challenge ahead?
Yeah, it's a FA Cup is brilliant competition. It was only this year in January that I was playing, managing against West Ham United live on TV. So, you know, it's a great competition. We did brilliant at Stockport there last year, and in other years, had a brilliant run with Norwich Victoria all the way from the prelims to the second round proper. So it's a great competition. I know it's very important for clubs in terms of finances and energy and confidence that it brings and excitement for fans. Morpeth is a really difficult place to go. It's the other side of Newcastle. It's a long journey. And despite their league form, they'll be really keen to impress in this competition. They've invested really well. They've got some strong players. I'm a big fan of Ryan Donaldson when he was at Hartlepool, the captain there. They brought other players in from Spennymoor and South Shields who are very strong players for higher levels, never mind Northern Premier. So it's a tough ask. We can't go off league form because most of their defeats have been on the road. So it's an extremely difficult one for them, the amount of travel they have to go to games. But for us, the tie is made a little bit tougher by the fact that they're the travel. But I'd like to think that we show the same sort of energy we have in the last three games. There's goals in the team. And I think it'd be an extremely exciting game. I just hope we come away with that positive result when we're in the FA Cup, when the draw comes about on Monday.
Well, Jim Gannon, brand new manager at Hyde United, big, big thank you for taking time out your Friday afternoon to come on the show. Pleasure having you back on the MPL show, and all the best this weekend.
Thanks so much, man.
Breaking news, that's so cool. We don't normally get that.
Well, it's the start of a new era, this, Ben. I mean, Dave McGuirk leaving, that brought an end to a continuation of what carried on when Darren Kelly arrived at the club in 2016. And that epoch of the club, it saw a huge amount of success. The club were on a real low ebb, remember. We've been relegated 3 years on the spin. And it was Darren and TY's job to help lift the club back to some semblance of normality, I suppose, because Hyde are a step three, maybe step two club. It's their natural level, I suppose. And Jim's task now is to basically help us stabilise and kick on again this season. We're ideally we want to get promoted, of course, but we're looking for a top half, top 10 finish and then see what the season after that brings. But this is just about feeling out the waters. Jim Gannon's got a great track record of bringing on young players. One of our current players, in fact, Kyle Brownhill, he was Stockport County's youngest ever captain at 17. I don't think it was quite his debut, but he gave him the captain's armband when he came on for a game one day. And so, yeah, he's always claimed that as like his one of his crowning glories kind of thing. But it's going to be interesting. A couple of county players there, Kyle Brownhill, John Fag Bowler, who'll know him very well. I wonder if they've had any influence on the decision because, you know, board members do speak to players and whatnot. He's got a dual role, really, because he's also at Oldham Athletic at the minute. He's working with their academy. And it'll be interesting to see what backroom staff he brings down to. Overall, I think the Hyde fans are going to be pretty pleased with this appointment.
Okay. Well, I've got you here, Berkey. Can we just talk about Mikulova? How good's Mikulova's start been, do you feel? I mean, you saw them up close. You had that new management bounce. What did you think about Mikulova and the likes of Declan Bacon and Andy Dales?
It's a lovely setup, that, Ben, but you don't expect me to leave play at Manchester, do you? I didn't go.
Oh, you walked right into that.
Oh, no, that's amateur hour. Sorry. I thought because we've had such a long break, you'd be going to a ways now we're back, but obviously not. Sorry.
I'll play Scrabble, mate.
Mark, what do you think about Mikulova? Might as well go to you.
Well, actually, I can say, I think Mikulova, after the...
Oh, you're off the team. Mark?
No idea. Couldn't tell you. No, I can't.
No,
it's fine. I can. There's just been a goal here, so I just got a bit distracted for a while. I know first day of the season, obviously they went up to South Shields and got a bit of run around up there, but I know from talking to people in and around South Shields and supporters who were at the game, they were as impressed with Mikulova as they were last season. I don't think we should forget that. They were the team that were top of the league when things got brought to an end last season, and still a lot of quality in that squad. I think once they get going, they'll still be a side that no one really likes facing.
Tell us, Berkey, about your thoughts on FC United, now you've seen them. And you've actually been short-changed because they only had 2 minutes of added time, didn't they, on Saturday? So you've not really seen... Mark's seen more of FC United than you have, because I think we had 5 minutes, didn't we, which is a bit normal at Mariners Park. But only two at Ewan Fields on Saturday, Berkey.
Well, the reason for that, Ben, was because Renault made three substitutions at half-time. So that time couldn't be added on.
I edited the video. The free kick that Finlay Sinclair Smith, it took 2 minutes to set up the wall. Not having it.
Oh, what a free kick, though. That was brilliant. Yeah. Right. They have got frightening ability going forward. They really have. I mean, you look at Finlay Sinclair Smith. I think he's outstanding. Every time I've seen him, I've just been so impressed with how he plays. Ali Wadeker, of course. You've got Regan Linney. You've got Charlie Ennis, who... I don't know about that sending off on Saturday. I don't think it was myself. But also Cedric Mayne, who I really, really like up front. People have been comparing him to Tunde, but I'm not having that. I don't think he's quite that level yet. He's certainly got a fair amount of pace. He's a real spark around the penalty box, and he's going to cause a lot of problems for defenders. And he should, really, score 20-plus goals this season. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, if he can stay relatively injury-free. But you're missing Luke Griffiths. Just so obvious there was that linchpin missing from your side, and you need to find a replacement for him, because I think up until you get that kind of screening midfielder who can really do a top quality job, I think you're going to leak a fair few goals. You're great going forward, but just look a little rickety at the back at the moment. I've got a great stat. With Tunde in the team, FC United won around 60% of the games that he played in. That fantastic season where you finished second after that really slow start. Since Tunde's gone, you've won 30%.
James, let's talk about Radcliffe.
Yeah, again, double-edged sword and Radcliffe are on the wrong end of it. What I really talk about Monday, realistically, because that was probably the worst performance I've seen so far. And just losing Grogan on the first day of the season has impacted the defence massively. The only game that really stood out as a good performance so far was the one against Witten where we won 2-0. Just doesn't seem to be comfortable with Radcliffe going forward at the moment. And I think the injuries have had a lot to do with that. The FA Cup can be the big, big point of what Radcliffe season's going to be, I think, just because we need something on the go.
It's a bit early yet, though, James, isn't it? I mean, we're six games in. I mean, Simo, there was a point I needed to make, because a fair few managers are saying about injuries and that. Isn't this just the fallout from the enforced break we've had because of the pandemic, in the fact that players are being asked to come back, hit the ground running with competitive football? I know we've had a pre-season, but that pre-season is nothing against the backdrop we've had of a season curtailed for much of 2021. So
yeah,
it's to be expected, isn't it? The injury crisis that clubs are having.
Yeah, I've spoken to quite a few people about this, and this definitely doesn't just apply to Witten, although the impact on them has been exaggerated, as we'll come on to later. But yeah, there's a few things at play here. One is, you're right, the gap between playing competitive football has been extreme. Lads obviously have time off in the summer normally, but they don't normally have 9 months off, which is what a lot of Northern Premier League players have had, with the exception of the handful that went and played a little bit in the National League North last season. That's a very, very long time. And people I've spoken to, without getting too scientific about it, saying like how the body kind of forgets how to absorb impacts and how to kind of cope with the demands that's put on it when you're playing competitive football regularly. And that's why you're seeing quite a lot of muscle injuries. Now, that's being compounded by the fact, and this is, you know, Claxton, not a criticism, but leagues have front-loaded the fixture list because they're worried about potentially being a COVID outbreak over the winter. And this is, I think, completely inadvertently contributing also to the injuries that we're seeing. So we've got those twin things at work. Being asked to play loads of games anyway, which is always quite demanding, but they're being asked to play loads of games straight after not playing at all for such a long time. And so these two are combining. And you're seeing it, so many managers are talking, even, you know, I've noticed that the guys at Chester have been talking a little bit about this as well. So you've got injuries in the mix. One or two clubs have been hit by COVID outbreaks as well, and I'm certain others will follow in as the season unfolds. So, yeah, I do genuinely believe it's an unintended consequence, but the fact, you know, August is always busy anyway, so September, October, November's been stacked by a league to try and get as many games out of the way as possible, and the unintended consequences is we're seeing a much, much higher percentage than normal of muscle injuries. It's quite interesting.
Sending our best wishes to everyone who's got injured. There does appear to be a lot of injuries, a lot more injuries being talked about by managers, that's for sure.
I'm going to say I expect the loan market's going to be a little busier than normal as well this year, people covering, because benches have been very light. I've noticed a few teams not being able to fill the bench so far this season or having a goalie on there where he wouldn't normally.
Just very quickly on that, a consequence of the pandemic appears to be certainly those clubs who are able to, and I'm talking about pro clubs, which is often where non-league clubs will take players from, they are much more reluctant than normal to release players because they are scared of how they might be impacted by a COVID outbreak. And because the rules have changed now, it's much, much more difficult to get a game postponed for COVID if you've got a certain number of players signed on. So, and speaking, obviously, after having conversations with people at Witten who are trying to mitigate their injury crisis by getting people in, that's now proving to be more difficult than normal because teams higher up the ladder who would normally release a fringe player for you to take either on loan or on non-contract are much more reluctant to do that because they're worried about the consequences on themselves of having a COVID impact. So you've got this real kind of perfect storm at the moment that's contributing to what Berkey said about, you know, you're rocking up at games at this stage of the season and you're seeing teams only able to name two and three subs, which is unheard of.
Shall we throw some more hailstones into this storm? And it's just the fact that there's players who are normally 34, 35, who are, you know, coming towards the end of their careers, who've actually ordinarily would have carried on at this level. They've thrown the towel in because the break, they've enjoyed family life, they've enjoyed work life, and they've gone, nah, football's not for me. And there's a fair few who've just gone, you know, that's it, over and out.
Dead right.
So let's go back to the league table and finish off talking about some teams we've not mentioned yet. Stafford Rangers. I feel like we should have mentioned Stafford Rangers earlier. I'll come to you, Simo, actually. I've listened to a lot of the post-match interviews and I'm very, very impressed with Matt Hill. He comes across very, very well. And clearly that's bearing fruit with results as well, that level of professionalism.
Yeah, they'll be made up. And in fact, really, if it hadn't been for what Bamber Bridge have done, I think you could make a real case for Stafford being the kind of team of the month for August. And people might say, you know, what are you on about the kind of mid-table? But because of where they have been in the past 3 years, I mean, we said to ourselves, didn't we, in the preview show, not getting relegated represents a successful season. So they're kind of already performing way over that expectation. So far, Button and Warrington, who, as we've mentioned earlier in the show, two teams that we expect to be challenging at the top of the table. So they will be so encouraged by how they've started so far. They look like they're difficult to beat. They've only conceded 4 goals. And they'll argue that one or two draws, they might even have got a few more points on the board. I know Matt was really disappointed that they didn't get maximum points at Batesford after Batesford had a player sent off. And, you know, they came away with a draw, which ordinarily would be a great result, but he was demanding more. I did mention in preview so that Bates going back there was a huge win for them. And that seems to be playing their attack, a focal point, he's for goals himself. And provide themselves a brilliant opportunity. I still think it's Operation Survival, by the way, but themselves a brilliant chance of doing that.
James, let's come to you for Stalybridge Celtic. 2 wins out the opening 6, up to mid-table land now. Scott Bacour scoring. Sorry, Simo. What do you think, James?
I told you last week on the weekly show that I'm a bit surprised of how they started, because the team that they've got there, they've just got a little bit unlucky with one or two results and who they've played. I think once they get the fixtures a little bit more favourable for them, they are going to start showing what they're capable of this season. I still have them down as being a little bit of a dark horse potentially for a playoff run later in the season, but it's just down to how they can adapt now coming off this little bit of a poor run. Just really unlucky with who they've played so far, really.
And it's going to get tougher as well. September looks absolutely horrible for them. And I think if they can pick up another 6 points, equaling the tally from August, I think they'll be really pretty pleased with that.
Is there an argument, Berkey, to say that Aston United have had a tough opening set of fixtures as well? I mean, they beat Matlock, but they've had to play draw specialists at that point, Scarborough, Mickleover away. They've had Whitby come to town, Stafford Rangers, who you know, are difficult to beat, a 0-0 with them. And obviously the Stalybridge Celtic 1-0 defeat. I mean, they're not being battered, are they, Aston United? It's just...
It's a point I was going to make myself, actually. Not turn them over, really. But aside from that outstanding opening day victory over Matlock, I think they're going to be pretty disappointed with the way the season's panned out so far. It's still, you know, it's still very early days, isn't it? But they will have expected to beat Stalybridge. And they were on top for most of that game as well. Last minute penalty by Scott Backer, who really is pulling the strings at the moment for Stalybridge. But they've got that sort of classic big man, small man pairing up front with Tom Bentham and Jack Redshaw, but neither of them are quite firing yet. They're still finding the feet with each other. But once that clicks, the goals should come flying in. They've only scored 5 goals in 6 games, which is very atypical, really, for not just a Cleggy side, but also for 2 top-quality strikers at this level as well. It will turn around. It's just, when does it happen? Cassian Angel's come back as well to the club after a spell abroad, so that could well be the catalyst for him. He was on the bench on Bank Holiday Monday, and if they can get him back up to speed, I think it'll only be a matter of time before they're bagging plenty of points again.
And Simo, what about Basford's start to the season? I mean, Steve Chettle has been waiting for players to come back. I think they're slowly starting to come back now. They're still waiting for the first win. Plenty of draws, though. But it's not been great for Basford, has it?
No, far from it. And, you know, they're one of only 2 teams who have yet to chalk up a win. So nothing like what they would have expected or certainly targeted within the first few weeks of the season. It's a kind of variation on a theme. They are also one of the clubs that have been hit quite heavily with injuries, and they're slowly getting people back now. You're right, 4 draws. So they've not been getting turned over either. They've been finding goals a little bit hard to come by, which has put a bit more pressure on what is normally a pretty solid defence. They have drawn the past 3, so it's incremental progress, but they certainly will want to put their foot to the pedal in September as they start to get players back. But yeah, one of the surprises so far, but not for the right reasons.
Are we surprised about Gainsborough, given the fact that pretty much a blank sheet of paper at the start of this season? So it was always going to be a slow burner for them.
Gainsborough, I'm not surprised to see them where they are. We did mention in the preview show an enormous, well, not just enormous turnover of players. They started again because no one from last season was retained. They got that draw on the opening day against Witten. But what was really notable was how young the team is. There's very, very little Northern Premier League know-how in that squad. A couple of guys who they've signed from Basford, but other than that, next to no Premier Division experience. And I think that's borne out in their results so far. That said, who saw that victory against Whitby coming on Saturday? I certainly didn't, and I'm pretty sure Whitby didn't either, although they did respond well on Monday. So that will have given them a lift. They've only scored 3 goals, though. That would be a concern. So we'll see as they kind of gather a little bit more experience in September where they end up. But I'm not surprised to see them struggling a little bit, if I'm honest.
Mason Lee's joined Grantham Town in the past week or so. There's an argument to say that Grantham need goals. However, they've got the worst defence in the league, haven't they, Berkey? So,
and it's not even close. I saw him last week against Hyde United, and it's like they'd never met each other before. fair play, Carlton Palmer tightened a few nuts and bolts at half time. But the first half, I didn't know what formation they were playing. The second half, it was a lot more straightforward, looked like a 4-4-2. But seriously,
they've got the likes of Nico there, haven't they? From Buxton, DJ Alarma.
Yeah.
How much of it is to do with the fact Hyde United beat them 3-0, but it was that Tuesday night new management bounce situation with the assistant taking over? How much of it is to do with Lancaster City and South Shields?
Very little. It's
11 goals in two matches right there. I'm just giving a defence for the defence. Let's talk about Morpeth Town. Mark, up there at West Allotment Celtic, what's your take? Because it's not been the best of starts, has it?
Morpeth have had... it's not been the start they expected. I was there on Saturday against Atherton and they kind of laboured to win there. They deserved it, but I don't think it was as straightforward as it could have been. There's undoubted quality in the squad. There's a lot of experience as well. And you look at the likes of Ryan Donaldson, obviously captained Hartlepool promotion last season into League Two. You've got Liam Noble, who's top goal scorer at Hartlepool in his last season there. And they've got players that have done it at this level and above. But at the moment, for whatever reason, it's just not clicking. And personally, I think that they're just lacking a little bit of pace in the side, a little bit of energy. And I'm still not entirely sure that Stephen Turnbull's kind of figured out his best start 11 or his best formation just yet. Obviously, beating it at Whitby on Monday was a blow. After Saturday's win, they need to pick up more wins quickly. And obviously, the FA Cup against Hyde on Saturday is a one that they need to win to really start building momentum, because at the moment, the season already is there's genuine concern then, rightly so.
Well, Mark, you've got a bow out now, haven't you, up there? What's the score at the moment?
It's 1-0 at Whitley Bay.
There we go. And to find out what the score was on Tuesday night, head over to Mark's Twitter feed, which is, Mark?
It's @Crothers_.
Well, thank you, Mark, as always, for joining us. And have a lovely week and enjoy the rest of the game.
E.T., thanks, everyone.
See you soon. Thanks,
cheers, Mark.
Matt Carruthers there from the North East, joining us from West Allotment Celtic. And finally, Wigan Albion. Simo.
I am still here.
Hello. I mean, you mentioned earlier about injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
It has been difficult, hasn't it, at Wigan in particular. So what's your take on where things are at the moment?
They're in uncharted territory in several ways. They're certainly not used to being bottom of the league with Carl McCauley in charge. They're certainly not used. I think, people who've sad enough to follow me on Twitter will probably be sick of me labouring the point, but they've got more than 700 games worth of Northern Premier League experience sat watching in the stand at the moment. And that's left Carl regularly picking at least four or five teenagers in his starting lineup. Guys who he'd brought in to introduce to the Northern Premier League gradually, and they've all ended up having to learn on the job together, and it's been a pretty rude awakening to life in the Premier Division for them. Uncharted territory in so much as in the Northern Premier League era, Witten have never failed to win inside the first six matches of the season. So that kind of tells you the kind of extremes of the start that they've had. To put it in a broader context, they are absolutely ravaged by injury. And so at the moment, it's very difficult to kind of reach an assessment of what their potential is this season. I would say as the season gets kind of unfolds, they're going to have to perhaps redraw their objectives, which is a real shame because it will have been forced upon them. But obviously, if you're not picking up wins, you're not picking up points, you're getting further and further away from what was going to be your initial objective, which, based on last season, don't forget, they were fifth when the curtain was drawn on the campaign. So I think there's certainly no panic or anything like that. It's certainly frustration is really the emotion, because they know with those guys who are currently sat in the stand, if they'd been on the field, there is absolutely no way they would have failed to win any of the first six games. But the longer that goes on, the kind of more the confidence gets hit of these young guys who are trying to do the job in their absence. So hopefully September brings with it a change of fortune. There are at least two or three of those lads are expected to be back in action in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have to wait and see what impact that has.
Well, the good news is, dear listener at home, whether you're a Wigan Albion fan, South Shields fan, or anyone else in between, we're only six games in. So that's it for August edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big, big good luck to everyone in FA Cup action this weekend. We hope you all win, even if it is two NPL sides playing each other. Just win, get through to the next round, and we might have a fixture preview for that said round. But a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this monthly show.
No problem. Hopefully happier next month.
A big thank you to Birke.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Lovely to be back.
Big thank you to James.
Well, one other thing for Bamber Bridge, just we've got to mention before as well. The mascot got a second in the mascot race at Epsom yesterday.
Congratulations! Congratulations! Who's the mascot? Quick name check.
Greg the Cat.
Greg the Cat?
Brig the Cat.
Brig the Cat. Congratulations to Brig the Cat. Superb stuff. Big thank you to Mark as well. But we've got to go now before Zoom cuts us off. And where are we going this weekend? Make sure you have fun, and we'll catch up very soon. Bye-bye.